All right, we're rolling.
All right, we're rolling.
Welcome to New Traditional, Joshua. I want to first thank you for agreeing to be on the podcast. As you know, New Traditional is centered on documenting our in-depth and specific creative contributions to culture, really storytelling at the center of tradition and modernity, spotlighting folks like us that need it and need to hear these stories the most, all things considered. Today, we're going to get into a couple things, namely Black Boy Fly, the EFIS. Also, we're going to get into who is Joshua and what you ultimately want the work to do. Sound good?
Sounds great, and thank you for having me. This is a huge honor. It's very exciting, and I think it's very important what you're doing with this platform.
Well, thank you. Before we get into Black Boy Fly, simple question, who is Joshua Renfro? And from there, we'll dive into how you built your eye for photography.
Okay, so who is Joshua Renfro? Originally from Tuskegee, Alabama specifically. And I went to Tuskegee University. So I went to college in my hometown, stayed on campus. So I definitely had a very exciting, unique experience. And yeah, I studied marketing, but I always felt like I was just naturally creative. I always liked dressing nice, and I always kind of had a creative approach. So I kind of knew that creative bug was there, but my whole focus was working in advertising, and I wanted to do it in the fashion industry. So, yeah, essentially, I interned in New York when I was in college, and that led to a full-time opportunity. And, yeah, I was here in New York. Yeah, I took that leap of faith and moved to the Big Apple. And it was a very unique experience, and I definitely will describe it as challenging as well. My first year in New York was rough, bro. Like, it was very eye-opening, but also I just had to do a lot of, like, self-reflecting and also just building my armor of faith. I was, like, in church every Sunday when I first moved to New York. But I took some, like, because I just wasn't happy, so I had to really, you know, dig deep and understand what my true passion was. And I also encountered a lot of creatives in New York who were stepping out, taking leaps of faith, and just doing what they truly love to do. And I think that was very captivating to me, and I wanted to be like them. I wanted to figure out what my thing was that I was willing to sacrifice and stay up long hours for and feel fulfilled. And that reflection kind of led to what inspired me to be in the fashion industry. And that was the images that I saw. It was the photos that I would kind of just like make my wallpaper on my MacBook, photos that just would really make me feel a special way. And I said, you know, how about I try creating those moments for other people? And that's when I decided that I wanted to give photography a shot.
Well, Josh, I want to take a quick step back. You know, in talking about taking that leap of faith from Alabama to New York, I know we often hear about the really traditional stories of moving to the big city, but I never like to generalize. So could you tell me what that was like? What were the inputs? What went into it for you? Was it a matter of just knowing there was more out there for you, or that New York was the one place that you had to go in order to achieve or reach your creative pursuits?
Yeah. I mean, one thing I can say about myself is I tend to be a little calculated at times. So I think it was multiple things that contributed to the decision to move to New York. One being that I wanted to work in the fashion industry, and this is like the Mecca. So I like a lot of the opportunities that I was excited about existed in New York. Another thing just was I always knew that there was better out. You know, I didn't have, you know, just the best. Like, I went through a lot of challenges just in life in general. One thing that kind of kept me, kept me persevering was the idea that there is better out there. So I always kind of operated in that space. So I also was, like, living in the spirit of expectancy, knowing that great blessings would happen, you know, once I made this move. So I think it was kind of just like a mixture of like, yo, these are where the opportunities are. And also there is better out here for me. And if I know that better exists, then that's what I'm going to pursue.
Josh, did you face any resistance or external doubt? Take us through the decision-making process. how long did it take you to decide that New York would be your next right move?
No, that's a great question. I mean, the thing about me is once my mind is set on something, it's pretty much set. And once I decided that like New York is where I wanted to go, this decision wasn't met with much resistance. Yeah, I considered different factors and I knew that it was a very expensive city to live in. But I knew that this was for me. And I was extremely confident. I was excited. I mean, there was some nerves, but I think interning in New York, it calmed down a lot of the anxieties that I had about moving to a city like New York. And I was more so excited. Like, I never really considered myself to be a small town guy. Like, I love Southern culture, Southern food, and it is relaxing and peaceful to go back and visit. But I knew, like, from an everyday perspective, New York was more of my vibe. So I wanted it. I wanted to change. And I was very enthusiastic about it.
Love it. So once you finally made it to New York, Josh, what was that like, right? Because I always think that New York is a city that either makes or breaks you, but, you know, more times than not, it makes you. Within that, you know, I also think that it often requires most people to have a really shitty first year in ways. So tell us, what was that like for you? Give us all the details.
Okay, so I came in the summer of 2015. Like, I was excited, but I was also, like, very homesick when I first moved here. And I just, like, I think it was just the culture shock of, like, wow, I'm an adult now. I'm starting my career, and I'm inheriting new responsibilities, new sets of problems, and, you know, not having the most money. Like, a lot of my graduation money, like, went to, like, you know, getting set up in New York and getting furniture and all of that stuff. So I was trying to just kind of like establish myself financially, be successful at my career, make friends. I didn't have a lot of friends. Like, I knew people in the city and I had people to hang out with, but like, I didn't have that core group of friends really established yet. I think it was just learning this new way of living that was very challenging for me, man. I'm not going to lie. I had some very, very dark, challenging times during my first year. But like I said, like, I always knew that there was something better out there for me. And the way that I've always kind of worked through and overcame challenges in life is knowing that there is going to be some silver lining. God didn't bring me this far to let this, you know, be it. And I know that there's better out there. So that's what, you know, I'm going to pour my energy into. That's where I'm going to allow my mind to live. But I would say shitty is a great way to kind of describe some aspects of it. But also, it was just really exciting. Like, I love New York. I met like some of my best friends like my first year in New York. You know, things got better over time. I love New York now. I could honestly live here for the rest of my life. You know, we have the goals of having properties in other places. But I think New York would be a great, like, home base for me for, like, the rest of my life. I'm so serious when I say that. I love it here.
Yeah, Josh, you're an anomaly.
Oh, you think so?
Many cases in New York are people that I've found are either, like, I'm going to do this for 5 minutes, you know, get that bread, then leave.
Exactly. Not me.
But from that, Josh, you mentioned the darker times and the moments that eventually led you to Black Boy Fly. Can you take us through those moments where you felt that there was no clear way out, and what did you ultimately lean on to make that happen?
So I think faith was the only thing that I could hold on to. I mean, other than my due diligence of, like, you know, making sure that I was doing my part to make, you know, my life easier, and but I was in church like literally every Sunday crying my eyeballs out and like just asking for answers. And I think, you know, God really listened and he made things better for me. I think things just naturally got better. I mean, nothing's going to be perfect, but I think when you reflect and like in retrospect, like, I'm in a much better space now. Like, those old problems were a little bit worse than like my current problems. So let me have this spirit of gratitude, which you should have that regardless, but like, let me just be grateful that I'm not in that space, you know? I think it was multiple things. I think it was my faith. I think it was me meeting friends. I think friends are so important. I really like have like a newfound just like appreciation for like friendships.
Yeah, let's talk about that, Josh, because as creatives, friendships in so many ways become like your new family and what are
Yes.
oftentimes isolating spaces. So can we talk about that? You know, how your friends were there and just finding your community in a creative space overall.
Yeah, man, it's truly like I want to say extended family, but it really becomes like family. I think just having it's something really special about having love for someone who you kind of like, you know, when you have your family, you just grow up with your family, it's like innate that you're gonna like love them, but to like meet people like and just establish this like love for them, and that's just something really special and like beautiful to experience. So yeah, I think just having people who have similar and you know different thoughts as you, and they're like super supportive of you, they're genuinely concerned and interested in what you have going on, and I just think it's just like you can just have good times. I mean, everything doesn't always have to be about work, and it's just like I think with your friends you are the most comfortable, and I wouldn't even say that with like, well, I think family and the friend comfort levels, like they can exist on two different extremes. I guess certain stuff that you will talk about with your family that you wouldn't dare probably mention in front of your friends, and vice versa.
Of course.
And I think that those moments are so beautiful because we kind of release all of our like inhibitions when we're around our friends, and we're just able to be ourselves in such a raw form. And like I just think the whole concept of friendship is just so beautiful, and that's something that has really, really pulled me through and made my day so much better.
Yeah, shout out your friends, Josh.
I got some good friends, man. I gotta brag on my friends for a moment. Even
Oh,
their
yeah.
flowers, right?
So Josh, as you came to New York, did you come with an internship lined up or did you find one over time after having been in New York?
Yeah, no, so I interned when I was in college, and I ended up coming back full time from the company that I interned with. So I had a job and started dating everything when I moved here.
So what was that like, you know, being in a creative space, particularly in the context of this last summer, you know, and seeing the myriad of ways that folks in creative spaces are either not paid or given their due. So two-part question, Josh. Do you feel that creatives are given their due? You know, and what was that like for you interning in a fashion space in New York?
Yeah, interning was fine. I love interning. I think the hard part was when you started full time. Interning was so fun and like, you know, like, oh my God, look at the intern. And then you get in and it's like a completely different type of way, like way of working. So I think that was like a bit of an adjustment. And but what was the other part of your question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, do you think creatives are given their due?
I say yes and no. I think there's
Okay.
been instances where like someone has been given their flowers or being supported in a really cool way, and they're receiving really dope opportunities that they've dreamed of their entire life. But I also think that there's a challenge in the industry, and I feel like that's been always discussed, but I think now it's really being brought to the forefront due to the uprising. And it's so much area and opportunity for growth and change, man. We are like nowhere near giving all these creative people what they're due. And I think we're moving in the right step, but there's a lot to be done. I think when you even look at like C-suite, you know, it's like if you really dig down systemically, like it's a lot of work to do, and it's possible. And I think we're making very important and powerful strides. But yeah, to answer your question, no would be the answer.
So as you continue and move through NYC, at some point, you came upon the idea of Black Boy Fly.
Yes.
So tell us, who is Black Boy Fly? Who is a fly black man? Give us the idea and the entire ethos, you know, behind Black Boy Fly and how you came about it. Because, you know, in reviewing your work, Josh, I'll tell you, and in genuinely appreciating it, I see that Black Boy Fly isn't one thing, right? That it's not just about cool dudes in New York and some good camera lighting. Right, so what is Black Boy Fly? Tell us.
Yeah, so Black Boy Fly, literally, it's my first photography book, and it was created to showcase the unique makeup of black male culture. and just showcasing the many parts of being a black man, and also combating certain narratives that are placed upon us by so many different people. But I think the evolution of Black Butterfly really started a year after doing photography, man. I was in a really dark space, as I mentioned earlier, and I'm the type of person where I knew something better exists out there, so let me figure out what that is and work towards it. And Black Butterfly was exactly that. I think I started to really think about my legacy as a photographer, what that really means, like, protect your legacy, think about it, and let that kind of guide the decisions that you make. I start to have those very important conversations with myself. And also kind of analyzing and observing the impact that we have. Like, everybody wants to be like a black man, regardless, like, you know what I mean? We're the most influential men on the planet. And I think black women are the most influential women on the planet. Everybody's looking to us, and everybody's getting inspired by us. And a lot of people are making money off things that we popularize and have inspired. And I didn't like that. And I also just had this like newfound self-love of what it truly meant to be a black man. And I think that came with maturity. I think I've always had like black pride and, loved being black and learned about black history growing up. But I think when you get older, you appreciate things in different ways. And my blackness was something that I was really like, oh my God, no way. I loved it before, but I want this to be a reflection in the work that I do. Because before, I don't necessarily think I had, like, I knew I like wanted to just, do what I could to support like, blackness, but to like actually have like a career that's like created around it, I was like, no, that's even cooler. It was those things that, and ownership too. Like, I think going back to like other people kind of get being inspired by black culture and then creating million-dollar businesses. And I was like, I want to combat that and be an example that, we can make money off our culture, because if we don't decide to do this, other people will and other people have. So it was a combination of all those thoughts. And I was just like, artistic freedom too. Like, I was felt very stifled in what I could do just being an amateur photographer, only shooting for a year. I wanted to do all these cool things and like shoot for GQ and all that. But I was like, I'm not getting those type of opportunities right now. And realistically, I have only been doing this for a year, and I need to get more experience with doing the type of work that I want to do. So why not just publish myself? Why not just do it myself? And I, like, going back to faith, like, I literally was praying to God, and he was like, publish yourself, do a photography book. Like, literally, he was giving me all these great ideas as I'm like talking to him in prayer. And that's how Black Butterfly was really birthed, through a conversation with God.
Stay tuned.